Uno that high first thing in the morning. That was an interesting effect there. I can't go that high this early in the morning without vocal warm-ups. But this is Mr. Michael Dean, and yeah, I went out and bought an effects unit because of what happened at Porkfest. It was pretty darn cool. There was an evening show where we had Ian Freeman as a guest on the Freedom Fiends, and he was, shall we say, differently conscious at the time, and I decided to kind of mess with him by playing with the effects on the board there. However, on that board that he had, there's this thing called a mix minus with radio where what you're sending back to the network is different than what you're hearing in headphones or in the speakers in the room, as it was in the case at the media room at Porkfest, because you can't have the same feed, because otherwise you'd echo back to the network and it would be horrible. So I accidentally broke the internet. We were going to there was like a whole segment in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. of the Freedom Fiends from Porkfest that everyone in the room thought was awesome, because there was like chipmunk effects on one person's voice and, you know, devil effects on the other person's voice. And but unfortunately, it didn't make it to GCN. So that segment, the audience only heard us talking normally and then nothing. And then the board op put on jazz music for a second, and as they do, as I would too, and then put on an old, a recorded segment, a podcast from a week earlier. But it was pretty special in the room, and it was pretty cool. And I realized what you'd have to do to not break the internet with a mix minus is have a separate effects unit after your preamp, before and between your preamp and your board, so both sides are hearing the fabulosity. And I tried to go high there. I should have stayed low. I'll do it next time. We'll do it live. So that's the story of my new device. And I'm also getting a rack mount to put my rack mount gear in, because I finally got 4 pieces of rack mount gear. I can have a big boy rack mount like a real radio producer. Like I always wanted when I was in bands, but I only had, I was just the bass player. I didn't get to have effects. So bass player and singer. I had singer effects, but somebody else was controlling them. Now, Freedom Fiends, I control the sound. And I promise not to shred my voice like that high, going that high as I did. Again, I will keep within the confines of where my voice is warmed up. But I'm having a lot of fun with this. And my co-host today is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, Michael. Good to be on the show with you again.
It's fabulous to be on the show with you again. You and I met recently in person for the first time.
Yeah. Like your listeners probably know, we talk on the phone almost every day, sometimes for hours at a time. And we've been good friends for a long time, but we've never met in person until Porkfest. And it was just awesome to get to really meet you and DJ. It was phenomenal.
You know, technology has enabled people to have really good friends they haven't met. Not just the internet, but the market and improving technology taking care of the price of phone calls. Because when I was a kid, if you called somebody long distance, you'd have, like, we had an egg timer, next to the phone. And if you called somebody even 2 counties over, you had to use an egg timer and make sure you didn't yak too long and make a list ahead of time of what you're going to talk about. I've talked a lot about how my sister went to Africa with Rotary International as an exchange program for a year when she was a teenager and I was a little kid. And we called her once in the year she was there. And it was like, it cost $10 a minute. We take, it's like $1973 or $71, which is a lot now.
And yeah, probably like $40 or $50 a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And I had to write down what I was going to say, and my parents gave me 1 minute to talk to her, because they had to get a year's worth of parenting and like, are you okay? Do you need money? Kind of stuff into 9 minutes. We had to make an appointment to make this call. We had to like, it was planned months ahead of time, and we had to call like the day before and talk to an international operator and make sure there'd be one available. And then it took her about 4 minutes to get the call connected. And then the quality of the call was horrible. I mean, it sounded, there was like a 4 or 5 second delay between you saying something and them hearing it back. And it sounded like they were down a well.
Wow. And phones are much better now, but yeah. Think of where they would be if it weren't for all the
government
all the
regulation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the government controlled
phones up until I think it was the 80s. When were the bell breakup, the baby bells created?
Yeah, that was the 80s. Yep.
Yeah, it was the government said, you know, it was before the term too big to fail. It was like too big to compete kind of thing. It was like they said phones were too important to let the free market take care of them. And doing that like held phones back for decades. Like, I don't know if young people know this, but when I was a kid, I'm 50 now. When I was a kid, you could not own a phone. You had to rent your phone, the physical device, the landline phone. You had to rent it from the phone company. It was part of your phone bill.
Yeah, and you literally couldn't do anything to it, like take it open and look inside. I found out as a child.
You did that, and
oh yeah,
men kicked in really, your door. State troopers kicked in your door.
Almost, they got really upset about it. But yeah, the phone belonged to them. The lines belonged to them. Everything belonged. And it wasn't like in the '80s. It wasn't like government all of a sudden became benevolent and went, oh no, let's open the market up, you know, to do good. Technology was changing so rapidly in the '80s that the government saw very clearly that they were about to lose control of the whole thing. So the breakup of the Ma Bell and everything was really a reaction to the collapse of the system that they were facing. There was all kinds of new companies. They were coming out with all kinds of new products. And, you know, cell phones were right around the corner, and they knew it. They knew they couldn't hold the monopolies.
Yep. So that kind of leads into something different but related that we're calling the Dean effect, or the Dean rule, or the Dean corollary. There's actually already another Michael Dean rule. It's that the amount of liberty in a geographic region is inversely proportionate to the height of the tallest building. You know, like if you live in New York City or LA or Chicago, where there's really tall buildings, you probably don't have a lot of freedom. And if you live in Wyoming, where, you know, the tallest building in your town is a 4-story high grain elevator, you probably have more freedom. And it's pretty much true in a lot of ways, except for
it's very true.
Specific things like, you know, in the country, they tend to like go after the marijuanas and kick in doors for non-violent ownership of plants that are less harmful than kicking in doors, by far. Less harmful than milk, probably. And less harmful than like eating at a fast food place, I'll say that. But unfortunately, smoking the weeds, one of the side effects is wanting to eat at those fast food places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Dean principle is that when you get somewhere around 20,000.
No. Let Dean do it. You already blew it. You already blew it. Let Dean do it. There's a point where we're talking about celebritarians, which are libertarian celebrities. I'm not really one. I'm kind of like, you know, in the pantheon of princes and princesses that is the rock stars of liberty. The Freedom Fiends are more like the really cool underground garage band that tours regionally, and people really like them because they're, you know, they're better than the mainstream bands. But and hopefully we'll never get that big. Hopefully we can. I don't think we ever will, because I'm so cranky. People contact me and they're like, hey, man, you're great. And I'm like, go away. Actually, the best fan I've ever met was a guy at Porkfest who walked up to me, said, I love the Freedom Fiends, handed me $100 and walked away.
Wow.
And didn't walk away, like never spoke to me again. But, you know, he was around, you know, our gang. He was around, but he didn't bug us. He just was there. And he was also huge. It felt like having another bodyguard. Like, I need a bodyguard while carrying a gun and, you know, being with 12 friends, 4 of whom are armed, and being at Porkfest where you don't need a bodyguard. But it felt like he was watching over us from 20 feet away the whole time. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, that's a fan, man. I want an army of those. But I am having a sale on Freedom Fiends buttons. I gave away 1,500 buttons and 100 DVDs at Porkfest, and I do have my new cut, my statism free cut, shorter, better cut of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, that I thought of doing at Porkfest while showing it watching it for the first time in 3 years. I have that cut out. It's free. You can download it at gunsandweed.com or watch it on the YouTubes. But I am having a sale. I'm going to mention this every day. For the whole month of July 2014, our $10 button packet of the Freedom Fiends is $5. So if you just go send me $5 on PayPal, or $5 worth of Bitcoin, and tell me it's for buttons and give me your address, you'll get 10 Freedom Fiends buttons, 2 each of 5 designs, plus a data DVD that has a high def encode of the new cut of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And also, there's a bunch of Freedom Fiends episodes on that. So if you want buttons, they're like at cost. I mean, I'm probably losing 50 cents with postage on each order for this. So, but help me out to help you out to spread phenology, phenism. Go to thefreedomphoenix.com. Just send us, go to the button link, but just send us $5. So the Dean effect, let's call it the Dean effect, is that around 20,000 followers, libertarians go insane and lose their mind, or at least their internal filters. Now, this is based on Stefan Molyneux recently basically saying he's Jesus, basically saying, without me, society will not have this kind of wisdom for another 2,000 to 2,500 years. Like, that guy has been solid in the past on philosophy, but then occasionally said crazy stuff like, if you're into karate, you're a violent person. You know, he just says ridiculous stuff, and he thinks everything is a childhood trauma, but... yeah, around 20,000 followers, you lose your mind. Now, I'm not talking about 20,000 followers on Twitter or 20,000 followers on Facebook. I'm talking about like 20,000 real hardcore fans that like wake up in the morning and want to know what you're doing, that kind of fan.
Yeah, people who you are an aspect of their everyday existence. They have to know, you know, what are you doing? What are you saying about this? What do you say about that? 20,000 yeah. Hardcore followers.
Yeah, the Freedom Fiends have 20,000 listeners. Most of them have not liked us on Facebook because they're radio listeners. We have a lot on the internet who download the cast, but I discourage like interaction with me. You know, if I don't chat a lot on the social networks. I've been dipping my toe back into it lately. But yeah, basically, we probably have 20,000 listeners and probably have like 20 people who wake up every day and want to see what we're doing, and I've turned 10 of them into co-hosts. We'll be
hey,
back.
There's the music,
Ben.
Michael.
Yeah, there is. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio worms.
Fiend, and I'm talking with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and we're talking about the Dean effect, which is my theory that libertarians lose their mind, or at least their internal filters, around 20,000 followers. And I'll never have 20,000 followers. I have 20,000 fans, but not 20,000 hardcore wake up every morning and devote their brain to what's Michael Dean doing. In fact, I actually got this really funny diss from a guy. A guy unfriended the Freedom Fiends radio show and podcast Facebook page and said, I unfollowed your page today. Your posts are way too inclined to post Michael Dean's face. I find that kind of self-aggrandizement annoying. Good day, sir. And I'm thinking, like, that basically means I don't like the Michael Dean fan page because it has too much Michael Dean.
Maybe that's good, though, because maybe that will keep him from being one of those 20,000 Molyneux fans or 20,000, you know, maybe that's a filter that he's got. That's good.
That's good. Yeah. You know, there's an article someone wrote that's kind of interesting. It's about 10 years ago called How to Make a Living with 1,000 True Fans. It was something like that. If you search the word 1,000 True Fans, it'll come up. It was a very the economics of it made sense. And it was because I've never really had Well, with my band Bomb, I had 1,000 true fans, and I've had, you know, I've written books that have sold 100,000 copies, but I don't interact much with the people. I don't like the social networks much, but I did kind of relapse and put my toe back into Facebook after 2 years of being off there. But I don't know if I'm going to stay on. if I'd stayed on Facebook, I'd have 20,000 fans by now, and I'd be insane. And I think I knew that, and it was a way of protecting myself from myself and protecting the world from me. But yeah, this guy wrote this thing about, you know, how you can make a living with 1,000 true fans, and it's an interesting concept. But you were talking about something called the Rush effect, and you don't mean the Rush Limbaugh effect, which is where you get, when you get 2 million fans, you just you become part of the GOP and condemn people and say you stand for true freedom, but condemn people like Ron Paul who stand for true freedom and try to shut them out of the process. But no, what is the Rush effect in your mind?
Well, it might be better to call it the Tom Sawyer effect. It's based on a song by Rush called Tom Sawyer.
The band Rush,
The band Rush, yeah. And in it, they said two keywords. They said get high. And they said space invaders. They didn't say space invaders, but they say the space he invades. And it was kind of a nod to hundreds of thousands of 15-year-old boys across North America that had their face stuck in the TV playing Space Invaders and getting high.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like this secret message from Rush.
It was a dog whistle. That's called a dog whistle. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's something that only the select few can hear. It's kind of like how, you know, I think a lot of talk show hosts basically say, we need to kill the government, but they don't want to say that because they don't want to get arrested or kicked off the air. So they kind of say it in code, you know, with, we need to get back to 1776, which really is a misnomer because 1775 is when the Revolutionary War started. Yeah. But, you know, don't let history get in the way of a good bumper sticker slogan about violence.
So I think this Tom Sawyer effect happens to libertarians very frequently. When just anybody can spout out some kind of a little libertarian phrase of some kind, and libertarians are so, you know, we've been rejected for so long, we've been marginalized for so long.
And we know we're right. That's the other thing. Yeah, to where like, okay, when somebody says something, give me an example.
I was watching, what's his name, Stewart, John Stewart the other day. And he had some expert, I mean, that's in air quotes, expert on libertarianism on there. And he was talking about the Koch brothers and whichever one of them he was talking about. He said, oh, yeah, the guy is definitely an ANCAP.
Now, those guys are not ANCAPs.
They are as far from ANCAP as you can be.
Yeah.
You know, they use the government constantly. They support political. They're more of a Republican with a libertarian flavor. But the fact that he threw out the word ANCAP, it's like you see this on Jon Stewart pretty regularly. He'll throw out tease words just to get that
to
small...
To have the dogs like us respond to the dog whistle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he knows he doesn't have to have the whole show in that direction. All he has to do is bump the whistle now and then, and that whole segment of his viewers will stay with him.
Excellent. We'll be back with more. We're going to table this for a moment, and we're going to take a call in the next segment from a friend in Africa who is listening on satellite radio, because we're on satellites in Africa now, and it's really cool, man. We are worldwide and broadcasting into space.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we are broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And we have Mr. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, on the other end. And we got a special treat here. We are broadcasting all over this world. We have a listener calling from Africa who listens on satellite. Like, there's not even good internet where he is. He's in Cameroon, he's in Chad right now visiting family. And the sound you hear in the background is a generator. I asked him about it, and he's like, it's Africa, man. We don't have electricity here unless we have a generator. So, Echo Youssef, how are you doing there?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Mr. Dean. Happy to be on your show.
Yeah, how did you find the Freedom Fiends?
It was about 10 months ago, I installed my little satellite receiver. When I scanned it through the radio part of it, I realized that I have our Liberty Radio network. From the beginning, it didn't mean anything to me because I never knew anything about the radio. But as time passed by, I'm a keen listener to radio stations. I participate in other shows. So there was a day.
Are you there? You still there? We lost you for a sec. There was a day that what? Hey, Ben, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. I think we lost him. Let's keep talking until we come back, until we get him back. The infrastructure in a lot of the world is not as good as it is here. It's not uncommon for that to happen. We have a friend, Kofi, who lives in Ghana, Africa, who runs Africa Youth Peace Call there, which is a liberty teaching group for kids. He does classes. And I've done a lot of Skyping with him, audio and video Skyping, and I've been doing a presentation over Skype there. Are you back, Echo? Echo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm back. Oh, sorry. It's our internet connectivity here.
I know. It's not good. So why is... tell me a little bit more about how you found the Liberty Radio Network and what else you listen to on the satellite.
Yeah, I have... I just received our Liberty Radio Network on my satellite receiver. From the beginning, I didn't know what it really meant, what your programs were even talking about. From time to time, I started listening, and one day, when just checking out for the radio stations, I passed across Michael W. Dean after that. From there on, I started listening to the radio. I started having this keen interest in issues about our welfare with regards to how government, the role that government has to play in our lives.
Yeah, and one of the themes on the Freedom Fiends is, you know, a lot of talk radio, because it's kind of an old network. It's not young, it's not new like the internet. So a lot of people here who listen to it are older, and a lot of them want to hear about America, America, America's great. And here's the thing, it's like people are the same all over the world. You know, when you judge, you know, when America says, oh, when the government of America does something to the government of some country in some other nation or continent, you know, some Americans go along and say, yes, we must do this. And like, I remember traveling Europe right after, you know, the invasion of Iraq, and like, people were yelling at me for being American. And I'm like, hey, not only did I not vote for the guy, like, I don't have any say in it. You know, the guy traveling on the train with the backpack isn't the one sending bombs to Iraq. And people have to understand that people are not their governments. And people want liberty. There are people all over the world who want the same things that Americans want. Tell me a little bit about your country, Cameroon. Tell me about the government and how oppressive and tyrannical it can be.
We have a president here called Mr. Paul Biya, who has been the president of our country since 1982, when he took power from Ahmadu Ahidjo. That guy has been ruling this country for 30 plus years. And look, we cannot afford to have electricity. We cannot afford to fight against malaria and other bad diseases. Meanwhile, the other day I was reading an article online. I realized that we have a president who does not have the aspiration and the dreams of his citizens at heart. But this guy is running around the planet with 4 private jets.
Wow.
Meanwhile, he has about 8 ministers in prison right now because of corruption and other political allegations. So we have a government here that is just there because it is supported by France. the French government really supports this government because, you know, they have their internal dealings that we don't know. But, I mean, we have no government. That's what I can say. We have just a couple of individuals who sell our resources and send the money into their account in Swiss, France, and wherever you can find them. Meanwhile, the people are really suffering. And our constitution guarantees different forms of freedom. Freedoms of worship, freedom of expression, freedom of conscience. But you know what? If you are an activist, maybe a political one, the only place you can find yourself is in prison. So we have a government here that is oppressive, a killer, and does nothing for the welfare of the people.
Do you have any fear of speaking out against the government on our radio show? Like if someone heard it there, would you get in trouble?
Mr. Michael, we have been afraid for 30 years. So there is no room for any fear. We have to air out our grievances. We have to let our governments know what we are going through. Okay, for example, look at the noise that you are getting from the background. Even though I'm not in my home country, I'm right now in Chad. But it is not different from what the realities that we have in Cameroon. People do not have electricity. People are dying from malaria. Can you imagine that within 2 minutes, more than 50 people are dying of malaria, cholera, and other related diseases? Meanwhile, we have these guys strolling around and barricading themselves in 4 private jets. So wow. There is no more room for fear. I have no fear over what I'm saying. I can say it no matter where.
Wow. So you have, it sounds like America, where you have rights written down in a constitution, but the government doesn't always abide by them, right?
Michael, I want to make a point here, Claire. The picture of America that we know is that of freedom, liberty, people do what they want, the government is out there working for the greatest good of the greatest majority. until when I had Liberty Radio Network, where I started getting this diverse view of people who participate on your show and even you, that the government too is not that different from what we have here. But from the onset, the kind of image that we have about America is like paradise on earth.
Well, it is in some ways, and in some other ways it's not. I mean, the poorest person in America, you know, we don't have free healthcare. They're trying to force it down our throats and make it, you know, it's not really free anywhere. But put it this way, you know, if somebody got malaria here, no matter how poor they are, they could probably get treated for it some way or another. And, you know, our politicians steal, but probably they don't probably steal as much. As there, it's a matter of degrees, though. You know, I can't say one thing's better than the other, but
yeah, Mr. Michael, in our own country, we have no accountability, no transparency. Okay, for example, last year, the United States government, through their embassy in Yaounde, financed HIV treatment for people who are living with HIV. They financed with about in France, CFA, which is the currency that we use here, it was about 23 billion francs, which may amount to $10 billion. At the end of the day, the aid did not reach out to the people who were in need of it. We had our Minister of Public Health who stole everything and transferred it into his Swiss bank account.
Wow.
So just imagine. That is just one of the many things that I can even say to you that is happening in our own country.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that happens here, but not to the percentage extent that it does there. Now, what... do you think that America's had any role in why there's so many problems in Africa, or is it all because of the African politicians?
No, America is even here. Just imagine that you go to a shop, you buy some groceries for $10, and the person selling in that shop or the owner of that shop does not know what to do with the $10. And Mr. Michael, you are the one who is the buyer, telling him that you have to use the dollar in this way and the other way. That's the role that America is playing here. America is even trying to help the masses, meaning that the money that our government raises through taxes and other international help should get out to the people accountably and transparently. But you know what? At the end of the day, they cannot achieve their aims because we have people who deeply in their heart, they know that the government is a source of their revenue. The government is a place where they can make their billions of francs.
Yeah, you know, I think that the problem, and you know, in some countries, people get so fed up that they have an armed revolution. And then the problem is the rebels, you know, the The rebels, okay. they become the conservatives the next day. They just install another, you know, violent dictatorship. That's the way it always works. I think that the only solution is like an educational solution where as you can talk to as many people as possible and teach them.
Let me chip in, Mr. Michael. Okay, have you heard about Boko Haram from Nigeria?
Yeah, I've also studied the situation in Rwanda in the 90s too, which was horrible.
Okay, the genocide.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have an ongoing crisis here in Nigeria with the Boko Haram. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
okay.
It's,
okay, do you know that Boko Haram is just as a result of aspiration and dreams of the people that have not been reached and frustration and disillusionment of the masses. Can you imagine that the guys who are there in the armed rebellion are guys who are not educated, are guys who see their political leaders stealing from them, are guys who are tired of promises that never end since independence. So they have now decided, out of lack of education and joblessness, they have decided to take arms and kill people innocently. And you know what? The only solution to such a problem is education and maybe jobs. But without that and the politicians stealing from the people, you will see this resurgence of violence and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's bad conditions and a lack of education make it really easy for warlords to get followers and take up arms like that. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, it does happen here in Africa. We have this situation in Nigeria. We have it in Mali, where the governments there do not take care of the people and many others.
It's been really good having you on. Thank you.
Oh, it's like a dream come true.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, call in on the nighttime show. Call in sometime next week. We'd love to have you back for more. Thank you, Akko.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. I'll be happy to be back on the show, yep. Mr. Michael.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location floating above Recluse, Wyoming, population 15 in this sparsely populated state of Wyoming. And that was an awesome interview. We had Akko, I'm sorry if I'm saying that name wrong. It's Akko, first name and last name is Youssef, who is a English and French teacher in Cameroon, a country in Africa that many Americans have never heard of because many Americans have a very small view of the world. And anybody who says America is the greatest country in the world, it's like most people who say that have never traveled. And I've traveled all over Europe and all over Canada and a bit in Mexico, and America's great. It's geographically amazing, and there's some amazing people here, but that is true of all of the world too. And any place that people look down on of, oh, that place is backwards, and you know, they're living in dirt huts, or you know, not that they're living in dirt huts in a lot of America, there are cities in a lot of Africa, I mean, but it's not the people's fault when that happens. It is the fault of governments, and sometimes with help from the U.S. government, sometimes with just their own governments. But the thing is, a lot of Africa, you know, there's a guy named Jim Goad, who wrote a book called the Redneck Manifesto. And one of the things he said in it, this is written about 15 years ago, was that that America's government doesn't care how much some warlord in Africa acts like Hitler if there's no oil in the country. And that's been true for a long time. But the U.S. government has been getting a lot more interested in parts of Africa and sending soldiers there. And I believe it's because with the new technology of fracking, they can get oil out of places they couldn't get oil out of before. And there's other things in Africa that, you know, conquering tribes of Americans want to come in and take, and not just America, Europe is doing it too, a lot of countries, you know, of different minerals, diamonds, gold, silver. There's some metal that I don't even remember the name of that's a conflict chemical, conflict metal that is actually needed to make cell phones and computers. I don't remember what it's called, but there's a metal that, you know, they want to, Western countries want to put boots on the ground there. And they always say it's because, you know, there's some warlord there acting like Hitler. And there are warlords there who act like Hitler, but America has largely just left it alone for the longest time. But they're very, very interested in it. Bill Buepert has talked a lot about that on this show, about how Africa is, a lot of Africa is the next staging area of U.S. occupation and domination. But it's excellent for me to hear a voice in the wilderness of someone who's listening to us on a satellite receiver, which I've never even seen a satellite receiver except in a radio station. I've never like seen a home, you know, portable model of a satellite receiver, but they have them and we're on the satellite there. Thanks to Mr. Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live and the Liberty Radio Network. And you know, you could go to LRN.FM and make a donation to the satellite fund, because Ian pays like something like $1,500 a year out of his pocket to pay to have satellites in North America and Africa. And we're talking, I've been talking with Ian about expanding that to maybe Australia or some other countries. But it's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool because, you know, they don't have good internets in a lot of these places and will never be on commercial radio in a lot of these places. But satellites blanket a whole continent, man, or a whole part of a continent. It's pretty cool. So, Ben, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to give a shout out to the Minnesota Agora Fest that's going to be held at the Via Maria Retreat and Conference Center. It's going to be August 22nd through 24th, and you can find out about it by going to agorafest.com. That's AGORAFEST.com.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you set up that Indiegogo campaign to try to help provide for me the resources to get to Porkfest. I really want to publicly thank you for that.
Yeah.
And let anybody know to send me an email, badquicker@badquicker.com, to get your goodies. Send me your address to get your goodies that I owe you.
Yeah. Yep. Ben's got your goodies. If you donated to his fund, he's got goodies for you. Don't touch my goodies, Ben. All right. We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hour of the Freedom Fiends, and apparently my voice is more warmed up now. I haven't sung in a long time, but Apparently, you're all going to hear a lot more of that, whether you want to or not. So, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. Why are you a bad Quaker? What does that mean?
Oh, well, I've gone into this a few times, but it's because, you know, a lot of Quakers...
You've gone into it a few times, but we have new listeners all the time on radio. This isn't the internet where you've got the same, you know, 800 people going, oh, tell us what we believe already in new ways.
Yeah. So a lot of Quakers are pacifists, and a lot of Quakers are socialists.
Ew.
And a lot of Quakers want... You know, they don't want to give their money to the government for the government to have wars, but they do want to give their money to the government to tell the government what other people should do. So I'm not a Quaker in that way. I think we shouldn't give any money to the government in any way. They're just going to use it for destruction anyway. They're just monstrous, tax feeders.
Plus, you carry a gun.
I like guns. I really like guns.
Quakers aren't supposed to like guns, right?
Generally, they don't, and they're often confused with Amish or Mennonites. But the funny thing is that Amish arm themselves and Mennonites arm themselves, and hunting is a very important part of both the Amish and the Mennonite culture.
It's the people confuse it because people are dumb and they go, oh, you're wearing plain clothes, kind of the same way that like a lot of Americans conflate, Muslims with Hindus because they wear head wraps that aren't common in America.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with the Quaker oat box, which shows like an 1800s Quaker. And so that's their only image.
And they look like Mennonites more now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, if you think of Coca-Cola and some of the iconic images of Coca-Cola, if you thought everybody in New England looked like the people on the iconic, Coca-Cola ads.
But they do. Except at Porkfest. And we're going to talk about Porkfest more. So... Before we go back into the Dean effect, which I've discussed, we want to hear for our new listeners Ben Stone's idea on religious people loving the state.
Wow, yeah. First off, I think it's a horrible violation. Assuming that they're Christians, assuming that they believe in Jesus's message, and assuming that they've actually cracked open a Bible and don't just use it as a showpiece on their coffee table. I don't know how a person can tolerate the existence of the state and be a Christian at the same time. The two things to me are the opposite.
I don't think that's unique to Christians. And Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. Not a lot of Christians want to admit that. And, Christians and Jews dig the Old Testament, and Christian Jews and Muslims read the Old and New Testament, and they just have new editions that came 600 years later or something from the New Testament. But Dobby Barker and Will Coley. Dobby Barker wrote Voluntary Islam, and Will Coley. There are Muslim libertarians. There are. It's not. There's an essay we've read that's kind of funny called I Hate Your Politics No Matter What They Are, and it goes through funny complaints about Democrats, Republicans, and libertarians. And one of the things about they say about Republicans is that conservatives believe that they have a copyright on Jesus. I don't believe that liberty. I believe that liberty can transcend any religious belief and dovetail with it quite well. And really, I think it comes down to, if instead of using the word Jesus, if you want to use the word God, loving the state is kicking God off the throne. That's what you've said. That's what I was trying to get you to say, but you forgot. See, that's what I'm really good at, is hearing my friends talk brilliantly for an hour and then picking out the one bumper sticker that they said without realizing it was a bumper sticker, and then repeating it, once a week for 10 years. And I like to do that with you because you have a lot of diamonds in the rough. You spew a lot of truth and don't realize how much of it is like a meme-like transmittable grain, like a seed that can spread across the planet like a prairie fire.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that
is true. You just need a good editor. That's, you know, I don't have anything new to say. I'm kind of a producer more than anything. I just kind of bring people together and then pick out what's good and help put things together. You know, I'm a professional matchmaker and kind of a professional editor. I say that everything that can be said has been said. Being an artist now simply consists of being a great editor. And some artists really don't like that because they say, no, I create and I'm wonderful. And I'm like, no, man. I mean, every letter in the alphabet, you know, there's 26 letters in the English alphabet that make up every book in English.
Yeah.
You know, it's just putting them in new order. And every story has been told. Every kind of story has been told. We did a presentation on the hero's journey at Porkfest. And a lot of people came up to me afterwards and were blown away after hearing the hero's journey explained of just how textbook and how boilerplate and how like formulaic 98% of all movies and, you know, 75% of all books are.
Yeah. And TV shows too. And even commercials.
Yeah. Well, although commercials are so short, they don't usually have three acts. They have two acts. They have a setup and a knockdown. They have, you have a problem, we have a solution, but they're like a little play with, you know, a hero's journey in them. You know, the husband is disappointed with the wife. It's because the wife isn't making the right coffee. The wife buys the right coffee and the marriage is saved all in 30 seconds.
Amazing. And people love that bumper sticker mentality. They really like to not have to think things through.
I mean, I guess I'd say if anything, I think an editor is what I do at my job, but I think in a larger sense, my job is I'm a propagandist for truth.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And you know, the word propaganda has taken a lot of negative meanings in the last 100 years or so, but it doesn't have to be negative. It can be, propaganda can be used for negative purposes or for positive purposes. If you're, you know, trying to spread a good message, that's, you're utilizing propaganda if you're doing it right.
Yeah, well, Nima Vidotti, who used to be the co-host on the show with me, the sole co-host, coined a great phrase, and it was propaganda, and it's what he calls propaganda that tells the truth, and that's what we do is propaganda, and we're proud of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel so cool that we're on the satellite in Africa now. I want to, like, raise, you know, $10,000 a year and get on the satellites in every continent in the world. I really want to do that. I kind of feel like, you know, if you ever listen to like Christian ministries on the TV and the radio, like they, you know, a lot of them are just set up to gank money out of people's hands, and some of them aren't even Christian, but there are some that are like really dedicated to it and believe in their heart of hearts, like, it is my only goal to wake up every day and spread this message. That's how I feel about liberty. And I don't call this the liberty movement, and you call it the liberty mission. And yeah. I agree with that. And we are on a mission for liberty. And, you know, Ian Freeman, when we were talking about satellite feeds the other day, he sent me a thing and said, this guy's really doing it right. And he sent me this link to this Christian site. And Ian's not religious, but he was like, this is what I want to do with LRN. And it was like, this Christian network, radio network that, you know, is on satellites in every corner of the earth. I mean, if you're in Antarctica, you know, as a research scientist, you're going to be able to hear this network up there. It's everywhere. And it costs money to do that. And I'm not ready to start saying, brothers and sisters, put your hand on the radio and feel the healing power of the Freedom Fiends and send me your money. But I think at some point Ian and I should get together and do a concentrated effort and fundraising and maybe like Indiegogo or something to try to raise the money to do this on a bunch more. Because I'm thinking another one would be good. I don't think South America would be good because English is not spoken that much there. But I think that although English is, it's the fourth most common language in the world. The most common are, I don't know if this is in order, but it's like Arabic, Spanish,
probably Cantonese.
You know, Chinese, basically, yeah. Some variation of Chinese, and then something else. And like English is the fourth most common language in the world, but it is by far the most common second language. Most people in the world can understand some English, at least enough to do commerce, you know, if they're selling anything to anybody from anywhere else in the world. It's the most common, like, common language that people have, you know, like people who are, you know, when German people meet Chinese people, they'll usually talk in English. But, you know, I'm thinking Australia, because Australia has a similar kind of geography to Africa, where you've got a huge inner part that's not very well wired, you know, and isn't very internet wired or even electricity wired. And it has a lot of people, and I'll bet satellite receivers are common there. I'd have to do more research, but I think that would be the next region that LRN and the Freedom Fiends and Free Talk Live should try to conquer with liberty.
You know, there's a technique that those televangelists and so forth use that's a very successful technique. Jeffrey Tucker and I were talking about this at Porkfest, that it's something that we kind of lack in among us, but the televangelists use it really effectively, and also the liberals use it really effectively. And this method is to let the individual think that they're really super involved. So with liberals, what they'll do is they'll get you to drive a green car, or they'll get you to recycle, or they'll get you to do any of these tree-hugging things that really don't make a difference. But if you feel like you're making a difference, you feel a part of the whole movement. And
that's why right-wingers are really adamantly anti-climate change tax, because climate change tax is theft that isn't going to save the environment at all. I'm absolutely in favor of less pollution and a cleaner world, but I'm in favor of that, I am not someone who says that climate change is not human caused. I do not say that. And I've talked to a few scientists about it, and they're like, you know, there's not enough hard data to say either way. And so much of the hard data that exists, it has a political agenda and financing behind it, that it's really hard to say. But another way they do that is with environmentalism. There's a phrase that I really love called charismatic megafauna. You ever heard that?
No.
Basically, environmental groups, you know, when they're trying to go in and kind of take over a region and try to save and control every aspect of it down to the algae, no one cares about algae. So they say, well, there's pandas here. And that's a charismatic megafauna that they can like send you a stuffed animal of and pictures of, and you'll want to keep sending money. So we need a freedom charismatic megafauna. And I think it's me.
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends.
That's a joke.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Dig that crazy beat.
that's me. That's my band, my one-man band, Right Arm of Wyoming. And that's a little toe-tapping number I wrote called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? Ben, that's funny. You can laugh, you know.
That is funny.
Yeah. So you want to talk about the Rush effect? No, the Dean effect. Explain the Dean effect again. I'm going to explain it. I'm the one with the memes. You're the one with the long analyses of the memes. So the meme is somewhere around 20,000 hardcore followers, every libertarian loses his mind, or at least his internal filter, which is part of the reason. See, I really don't think there should be libertarian leaders. And that's not me being jealous, like, oh, I'm not as popular. I like some of the really popular guys before they went insane. And I've got a lot of followers, man. I had no idea. I went to Porkfest and it was like, oh, you're Michael Dean. I love your show. Here, have some money. Here, sleep with my wife. No, I'm kidding about the wife, but it was awesome. It was cool too, because I don't put my face out there much because it's not that good looking anymore because I'm old and plump from sitting in front of a computer working my brains off to get this liberty out in the world. My beer belly is me. My sober beer belly is me suffering for your freedom, all of you. Boy, that sounds like crazy libertarian stuff there.
Yeah, Michael's jumped a shark.
I sounded like I was trying to say I was God at the end of the last episode. I wasn't. I am not the charismatic megafauna of liberty. People are the charismatic megafauna of liberty. Yeah, so libertarians do tend to start talking like they think they're God or criticizing things that have nothing to do with being against the non-aggression principle. You know, basically the non-aggression. I'm a thin libertarian. I'm a thick-bellied thin libertarian. I don't care about all that other stuff. You know, I was watching, there's a thing in the Guns and Weed movie where Nima does a rap that I helped him write, where he says, if you ain't about your heater, then you're nothing but a theorist, which was basically us saying, if you don't have a gun, you're not a real libertarian. And it was like, we got challenged on that right at the beginning, and I really thought about it. And basically, I think there are a lot of real libertarians who don't have guns. My thing is, I don't know if you can be an effective libertarian without a gun, because or at least surrounding yourself constantly with people with guns, which, you know, people like Ian Freeman and Jeffrey Tucker do. It's like they don't need guns because they're always around people with guns. You know, it's they kind of have their their de facto unpaid bodyguards. And Davi's talked about that, too. Davi said he's a free rider on the gun issue, which is a joke that liberals say of, oh, everything needs to be mandated because otherwise you'll have free riders. And there's a lot of libertarian bow tie wearing rock stars who've explained why that's not a problem and explained it quite well. And I'm not that guy. I'm just the guy who yells at stuff and people like it and it's fun. But talk a little bit more, Ben, about the Dean effect and how libertarians tend to get insane around 20,000 followers. I think we were going to get some examples of it, but then also just talk more in a bigger way about it. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it has to do with what we were talking about off camera about how marginalized people have a tendency to really spot other marginalized people, and you rush towards them and you're like, oh, wow, you're libertarian. I'm libertarian, too. That's so cool. And you look over their flaws sometimes in your desperation to have a friend that's like you. And when that's all focused on one person, it gets to the point of where, you know, that person can, anything they say, no matter how ridiculous it is, there'll be 10, 20,000 people defending them to the death, no matter how ridiculous the statement is. And that goes to anybody's head. Essentially, that's like the kind of power that politicians get,
yeah,
which drives them into the evils of politics.
Yeah, and I've noticed that effect with various other subcultures I've been in. I've always been in a subculture my whole life. You know, when it was young, it was the stoners. When I was a little older, it was the musicians, and then it was the punk rockers musicians, and then it was I was a bike messenger, and it's like that is a deep subculture. I mean, that's almost like bikers. It's such a, you're either one of us or not one of us, and you know, any bike messenger is instantly your friend until proven otherwise, you know, because they, I mean, literally when you ride your bike through traffic, up and down hills all day to deliver pieces of paper for rich people, you kind of have, it kind of really gives you a, instantly gives you a view of the world that's not like everyone else's. And then I was in the kink sub-community, and, you know, I've been in a lot of places where, you know, there's conventions of like-minded weirdos getting together with other weirdos to not feel so much like weirdos, and it's a good thing. But I see what you mean about the dog whistle effect. We'll talk more when we come back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is the central scrutinizer. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. Windowless bunker. Maybe I'll leave the flange on. I kind of like the flange. Flange sounds pretty cool. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. Are you there?
I'm here. We were talking about dog whistles.
Yeah, I want to say, though, the name of this episode is going to be People Are the Charismatic Megafauna of Liberty. And my wife came up with that during the break, and that's I said it in passing and kept going. I do want to credit her for that because behind every great man is a good woman he steals all his ideas from. I came up with that. In my book, in my first novel, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, which you can download. It's really out of print. You can buy a copy for a lot of money on Amazon, or you can download it free on the torrent feed of the Freedom Fiends. And we are having a button sale. $5 for buttons, not $10. It says $10, but if you just go and put in code Michael Said So on the radio and send me $5 in your address, I will send you, for this month only, July 2014, I will send you 10 Freedom Fiends buttons and the Freedom Fiends decoder ring. Well, it's not a decoder ring. It's actually a data DVD with the new cut of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and a whole bunch of cool Liberty media on there, including how to start your own radio station. So it's $5 in Bitcoin or PayPal to Michael Dean. And it's on the website, Freedom Fiend. So people are the charismatic megafauna of liberty. And talk about that with dog whistles. Dog whistles are when a speaker gives some kind of like between the lines code to listeners. You know, that only a select group can hear. It gives culpable deniability. I would say there's a lot of dog whistles in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, but I'm not going to say what they are. And I've used them on this show before.
You know,
I'm not going to say what they are, but go ahead.
A guy who used to be like the master of the dog whistle was Chicken Hawk Ted Nugent, back in the 70s. In his songs, he would have all these references, all just real mild, slight little references to getting high and partying.
No. They weren't to getting high. They were to having sex. He didn't get high.
Well, he had a lot. No, that wasn't high. Dog whistle. That was out in the open, you know. But yeah, he had like in Stranglehold, he says, sometimes you want to get high, sometimes you got to start low. And there were just to a druggie sitting around listening to Stranglehold, that was a little sign. Yeah, he's one of us. He gets it. But Ted never smoked pot. He was always against.
Yeah.
And then it came out, you know, he got a divorce and his wife accused him of being a part of the drug culture and in trying to win in the divorce. And he came out in court and said, prove that I've ever taken any drug. Find one witness ever. And there was like a hush in the drug community at the time. Because it dawned on us that we had all been taken to the cleaners. Ted was fake. And now that I know more about Chicken Hawk Ted.
The interesting thing about Ted, and you're calling him Chicken Hawk Ted because he loves war. He talks a great talk about liberty and small government and all that, but he also wants, you know, drug users and dealers to be murdered by the state, which is not a liberty thing. And he wants like an endless war, you know, an American a crusade against the Middle East, like kill them all, let God sort them out kind of attitude. And he's not a liberty guy, man. He's the other thing is, too, you mentioned the song Stranglehold, which is his only great hit, his only great song. I mean, somebody said, I'm going to be spending the day today, yesterday, driving around listening to Ted Nugent's greatest hits. And I said, oh, so it's going to be 1 7-minute song on repeat because Stranglehold is his only great song. The thing is about Stranglehold, he didn't write the lyrics and he doesn't sing it. It's not Chandler St. Pierre. It's somebody Saint somebody. His bass player sings that, and I believe wrote the lyrics. Maybe not. Maybe Ted wrote them, but that is not Ted Nugent singing. That's his band, but he didn't sing that.
What is the phrase? Mea culpa? Is that it? Mea culpa, the greatest accomplishment, and it's not even his?
Yeah. He didn't build that. All right. So go on with your dog whistle bad self.
Yeah, the other one that we talked about in the last hour was the song Tom Sawyer by Rush, where they give a little hint out, a little whistle to all the 15-year-old stoners sitting around playing Space Invaders. And it was the same kind of thing. It's just a couple words thrown in, and that's all it takes, and their ears perk up. And a lot of times they don't even know why, if the dog whistle is put in effectively, they don't even know that it happened to them. They you know, their ears perk up, and they don't know why. But that's one of the effects. But another that we kind of touched on earlier was this get them involved type thing, where the evangelist tells you, you know, I'll send you a picture of that little baby and that you're supporting for $5 a month. And, you know, it's this process of getting them involved and making them feel like they're really making a difference, even though, you know, once you take all the side fees and everything else out of that $5 a month, you know, what really gets to that baby?
Yeah, I mean, it probably ends up being, you know, there's a joke, you know, there's an organization called One Laptop Per Child.
Right.
Which is a brilliant idea. It's some rich people who are technology experts got together and designed a laptop computer that can be solar powered or crank powered and work with like satellite internet in the middle of Africa or Australia, and and runs on Linux and can be manufactured for under $100. And the plan was, you know, get these and use charity to raise money to buy one for every kid in the world, which is a pretty noble idea. Although I think a lot of them probably need medicine more than they need, and maybe guns more than they need a laptop. And clean water. And my dad is involved with Rotary International, and they dig wells in Africa. That's one of the cool things they do. And they don't steal government money to do it, as far as I know. But the one laptop per child became this state thing. It became the UN was demanding that countries, you know, countries steal from their citizens to pay for it. And that is antithetical. And why is it that people who believe in religious charity don't see the falseness in using government guns to make money to give to the less fortunate? That's not charity, man. That's stealing.
Yeah, it's a denial of reality, where they are so worried that their lifestyle is going to change. They're so worried that some aspect of their dogma might be challenged that they refuse to ever examine what it is they believe and whether or not their beliefs are actually based on any reality or it's just based on feel-good emotions that they're fed every Sunday.
Yeah, and a lot of charity, I'm not saying don't be charitable. I think being charitable is important. But I think that a lot of times charities, even private ones, but especially government ones, they have not only are they stealing the government ones, but it's 95% waste. You know, they're not spending much of the money on, you know, the malaria medicine for the kids in Africa. They're spending it on $900 office chairs and extravagant parties and first class plane tickets for their conventions. But, you know, like they said on Archer, and also it just doesn't always work out the way it should when it's done through an organization. There was a joke on Archer that some billionaire said, yeah, I donate to a lot of charities. And he named a bunch off. And then he said, you know, one laptop for every child, one laptop for every child soldier, which quickly became 1,000 laptops for every warlord.
Yeah. You know, the thing too, there's so many charities that you think you're giving to, you know, research to take care of this horrible disease or whatever. But then if you get into it a little bit, you find out that the vast majority of their money is either in overhead of the organization itself, or it's in hiring lobbyists to try to get the government to, you know, to put more money into colleges, which the idea is, well, that'll stimulate research. But does it really? I mean, just free money dumped into a college.
And research these days often ends up as a weapon. You know, it's like, we'll keep funding you as long as you keep coming up with the results we want that confirms our agenda.
Exactly. Or it goes into some ad campaign where they want to show you some really gross image of something that pretty much everybody are going to turn away from.
Charismatic tumor fauna.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the answer is to all this, don't you?
No government.
Bitcoin. It can be done with government. It can be done around government. It's, you know, I mean, even sending money to somebody, I raised $100 one time for Kofi, or $200 for Kofi, and was trying to send it to him. And it was I couldn't send it Western Union because it was, you know, it would have cost more than that to send it. And like Ghana and what is the neighboring country that has all the internet scams from it?
Yeah.
Nigeria.
Nigeria, yeah.
Like PayPal, what you can't PayPal to those countries. Like PayPal has blocked it because so much of what comes out of there is scams. And, you know, to the point where like I had to go through the wasn't the ISIL. It was some liberty organization, small government organization in San Francisco that has a way to get money over there. And they did it for me. But yeah, it's like, you know, commerce is, you know, not only is a lot of the world war torn and screwed up from the actions of governments, they also blockade money going in and out. Like Iran is another example. You know, if you like, if Nima tried to send money to his grandmother in Iran, he would get a knock at his door from the State Department. Like you cannot, a citizen cannot send money into Iran from America because there's blockades, you know, and blockades never hurt the government. They only hurt the people in the country.
Yeah, and in former times, a blockade of any kind was considered an act of war. Ron Paul actually has talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah, nowadays, even not physical blockades, but just, you know, financial. What's the term for it? We're going to add more. I was a politician saying it. You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Trade embargoes, things like that, yeah.
Yeah, but even in the past, that's always, even no matter what type of blockade like that, it was always considered an act of war. It's only recently that somehow that this is a way to stop war. Well, no, it's as Mises proved, you know, the borders are what cause war. And when borders come down and commerce happens, that's what stops war. Commerce is what stops war. Borders is what causes war.
Yeah, yeah. Everything the United States government does is an act of war. Everything every government does is an act of war. And, you know, state speech is hate speech. And that was a pretty popular button at Pork Fest when I was handing out buttons like free pancakes. And you can get Freedom Fiends buttons, sale price for July 2014, the whole month, $5, not $10, for 10 buttons mailed to you with a data DVD with the secret decoder dog, the secret dog whistle decoder software. Which is actually just the movie Guns and Weed, the new edit of it. So talk a little more about this this thing we're going to called the market real quick. What do you think about the market?
Yeah, so that's how people communicate peaceably and freely among each other.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Michael Dean singing along with my old band Bomb. Yeah, I was in a band called Bomb. That would not be fun to be in now. We used to go on airplanes with like big metal boxes that had amps in them that said Bomb stenciled on the side of them. Try that now.
Yeah, the classic example of that is that kid in Ohio who had a sticker on his bicycle that said, "This bike is a bomb." And that was the name of a punk rock band.
This bike is a pipe bomb. Wasn't that the name of the band?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. And the police actually surrounded his bicycle.
They blew it up. Didn't they blow it up?
Yeah, they actually sent in a bomb squad and blew his bicycle up while he's standing on the side crying, begging for them, "Please don't destroy my bike. That's my bicycle." And they just pushed him back and, no, we've got a job to do here, citizens. We're the heroes. You're just dumb.
I wonder if anybody ever did an Indiegogo campaign to buy him another bike. Somebody should.
That's a good idea. You know, speaking of Indiegogo, I need to throw this in again. I said it last hour. But if you donated to Michael's Indiegogo campaign to help send me to Porkfest, first off, thank you very much. It was really nice going to Porkfest. But I need your mailing information so that we can send you your goodies.
Yep.
Email badquaker@badquaker.com and tell the staff how much money you gave and give them your mailing information, and they will get that stuff out to you as quickly as possible.
And the staff will check against the records to see if you actually donated. So So we're talking about charismatic megafauna, which are, you know, like pandas and big fluffy things and things that...
The whales.
Yeah. Things that people put in front of you to dangle like a severed head to get you to donate money, when really they're trying to not only save but control an entire ecosystem and the people and the itchy algae and everything in it. But I believe, my wife has said, and I believe, and that's going to be the name of the episode today, that people are the charismatic megafauna of liberty. And we were talking before we took the call from Africa, we were talking about we went to the break, and I was talking about how I've been part of a subculture my whole life, and I'd gone through all the ones I'd been a part of, and then I really quickly said what I was going to say next at length if the ad hadn't come up, which was, and now I'm part of the Fiends gang with my weird friends. And then it went to the ad that said, "You're listening to the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends," which was funny timing. Sometimes it works like that. We're talking about getting droned, and then it goes to an ad where it says, "Help the fiends out before they get droned." And, so we are the charismatic megafauna of liberty, and we should know that. And we don't need to send money off to some government, to have it taken by taxes by force. We don't have to send it off to the American Liberty Foundation to distribute it equally. No, you really just have to send money in Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends, and we'll do more. I can't do it with a straight face, man. I would not make a good televangelist. But you can send us money, or you can just do what you want with it. And we will do stuff with it, like, do important things to spread liberty, like buy effects units. No, we do other things too. I gave away 1,500 Fiends buttons and about 50 DVDs at Porkfest.
Hey, Michael, also, we got free chocolate. Wasn't that cool?
Yeah, man. We got free chocolate. We got all sorts of stuff. People want to give us things.
And a dude from Austria actually gave Michael and I chocolate from Austria. It was really
cool.
They
were called cat tongues.
Yeah.
Cat tongues. Yeah. Yep. And we like to give back by... Basically, the way I give back is by living an ascetic life, more or less, only spending money on equipment. People saw me at Porkfest. You see how I dress. I spend less than $100 a year on clothing. And I put it all back into liberty. And basically what I do is I work about 80 hours a week spreading liberty. And that's what I do to give to the world. And I don't make much money at it. And if you want to send some money, you can. But I'm not asking for it. I won't die without it. So, Ben, in closing, when weirdos get together with other weirdos to realize we're not weirdos, what's the effect? It's a good thing, isn't it?
It is. It supports each other. It feels good. And it gives you a sense of purpose. And like, you're not the only one that has these feelings and these thoughts. It's really important.
You should go read George Donnelly's article, "Porkfest Will Be Raided. Prepare Now." It's a really dark thing to end on, but it's an interesting article. He said it'll happen in the next 3 years. Around dawn, and I'll be at a hotel when it happens, because I'm always asleep at dawn, pretty much, or somewhere. But it's a good article, man, so go to George Donnelly's site. I met his friend James Babb, the Do Not Fly guy. They told people not to fly, and they were called terrorists by Whoopi Goldberg. Think about that, being called terrorists for not wanting to engage in commerce the government wants you to engage in. That's how messed up things, people. That's how messed up things are, people. Go to freedomfiends.com for more. Download it all, seed it on torrents. It's all good.
Words.